this comes from the letter, to the letter to the Thessalonians, to the Colossians. It begins with these words: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace be with you from God our Father. Then the apostle goes on to write these words: May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, to whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions, or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Join me in spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And may anything said that is false be quickly forgotten, and everything said that is true be engraved upon every heart. In Christ's name we humbly pray. Amen. This last Friday night, my wife and I went to go see the movie Won't You Be My Neighbors, the story of Mr. Rogers, and a reporter for Esquire magazine who did an expose on him and had his life change. At the beginning of the story, he said that the story is based on actual facts, so many of the characters may be fictional ones. The sermon I'm going to share with you is based on actual facts, though some of the characters may have been fictionalized to protect the innocent as well as the guilty. The text of the day comes from verses 11 and 12 of that passage in Colossians I shared with you. May you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to God the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints. Once upon a time, a woman was going through some old boxes that had made several moves with her. One of the boxes contained artifacts from her college years. As she opened up a box, she saw, wrapped in newspaper dated from the early to mid-1960s, a crucifix, a cross with Jesus on it. It had been given to her many years before by a college roommate during her freshman year of college, during a time when she was going through a struggle of how to be independent without being under the shadow of her parents, making good and bad decisions, many of them for the very first time, and essentially just learning her way of what it means to be an adult. As she picked up that cross, it brought back a flood of memories. Although she was not Roman Catholic, she hung the cross, the crucifix, above her bed in her dorm room. It was comforting. Accompanying the cross was a note that her roommate had written. It was actually more of a Bible passage that was important to the roommate and hoped it would be important to the young woman. It was from the Psalms, the fourth Psalm to be exact, in which the psalmist wrote, I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me to lie down in safety. Each night, as she crawled into bed, she would see that little cross, which stood as a silent witness to God's watchful eye. At the end of a bad day, it reminded her that she was not alone. After all that Jesus said at the end of Matthew's Gospel, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age." After graduation, she packed away the cross, the crucifix, and simply forgot about it. As I said, it had made several moves with her. The box was a bit shabby. And she became a teacher, a very gifted teacher at that. She won all kinds of awards. And it gave her a certain sense of satisfaction to realize that being a public school teacher, that she was touching the future as she shaped the minds and the lives of the young students who were in her care. It became especially important as time went on, as families changed, as societies changed, and many of the children under her tutelage did not seem to have the same grounding or home life that she had. They were lacking a certain stability, and they longed for that. Taking the crucifix out of the box, she noticed that the bronze coloring had not aged well. Little pieces had flaked off, and it was starting to show that blue steel color of a metal that was not nearly as valuable. And the wood had faded also. The little tiny carpenter nails or shoe nails that had fixed Jesus to the cross had become loose. One had even fallen out. She set the cross on the corner of her desk without any intention. It became, it turns out, a silent witness to her over the next several months. A few days after she had placed the cross on her desk, she had to clear a space to work on a project for school. And so she picked up the cross and absentmindedly set it aside, set it on a stack of papers. And later that week, when she went back to the desk, she saw that she set the cross on a stack of bills that she had to pay on Friday, as was her custom. And as she picked up the cross and set it aside to pick up the first bill, an odd thought crossed her mind. She wondered, how much did her faith impact on the way in which she spent her money? Was she a good steward with her life and with all the resources that God had bestowed upon her? And the most haunting question of all that she had was, how could she distinguish between her needs and her wants? A few days later, she was back at her desk, this time grading papers. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw the old crucifix because she had hung it on the wall next to her desk. And she paused to reflect upon whether or not her belief, her faith in taking Jesus seriously was reflected in the work that she did, in her vocation, in her calling. She wondered if any of the people who knew her would be surprised to learn that she is regular attendance in church. She wondered if taking Jesus seriously was reflected in the way in which she treated her students. Did she see each one of them, even the biggest troublemaker, the biggest pain in the neck, did she see them as a child of God? And she wondered what her fellow teachers thought, or even the custodians, those little noticed individuals who take out the garbage, clean the halls. When a child gets sick, spray that material that looks like sawdust to clean it up. And then she wondered if she always gave her best, or did she sometimes call it in? About this time of year, she decided that she was going to start addressing Christmas cards to get an early jump on everything. And as she sat at her desk again, she looked up at the crucifix and she asked herself with each card that she wrote, was she a good neighbor? Was she a good mother-in-law? Was she a good grandmother? Had she been a good parent? Had she been a good spouse? How did her faith in Jesus impact in various relationships? Was she a good friend to those that you count on as friends. Over the next several months and even the next several years, and there she looked at that old crucifix hanging on the wall, she would ask herself, what difference has my faith made in my life? What impact has it had on the decisions that I make regarding my finances, my job, my family, all of my relationships? And then she asked herself a question that we would all do well to consider also. What difference would it make in my life if Christ truly was my King? To God be the glory both now and forevermore.